This is Frank Hymans interviewing Helen Xeros on the 26th of September 2005 for the Department of Housing's Millers Point Oral History Project. This interview is being recorded at the Abraham Mott Hall, the Youth Centre, Millers Point, New South Wales. This is that number MPFH27, side A. Okay, Helen, tell me a little bit about you, Helen. First, what's your full name?
My name's Helen Xeros.
Right. And tell me a little bit about your family background, the family you were born into.
I come from a Greek background. I come from a fairly big Greek family, mother, father. I'm the youngest of a brother and a sister. My parents migrated here around 30 years ago. And I was born in Australia and raised with a very multicultural way of life. I learnt how to speak Greek, read, write, and a lot about the cultural aspect of the Greek lifestyle.
Right. Are you involved with the Greek community much?
To some extent. I was much more when I was younger, involved in Greek school, Greek dancing, the Greek community. But as you get older, you sort of form your own friendships and they consist of other nationalities as well.
Oh, that's fine. Good. So tell me about which schools did you go to and which part of Sydney were you living actually before you came here?
I grew up in the southwest. So I went to a school called Kingsgrove North High School. That was It was a public school, public high school, very popular in those days. Quite a good school.
Okay. Yep. Right. Okay. And after school, did you have any idea what you wanted to do with yourself?
I had no idea. So I decided to do an arts degree at Sydney University, so keep my options open. First year of uni, I decided then I wanted to get into an area of welfare, something that I could help the community with. I chose social work, so I finished my social work degree at Sydney University.
Right. Did you enjoy social work and the course?
Very much so. It's a very broad degree. You can get into a lot of areas, and it's such a fantastic opportunity because you could work across the board of all age groups and any sort of disadvantaged community. You can work with young, old, mental health, disabilities, so that's why I chose social work, just to have a general outlook on life.
So you got yourself a Bachelor of Social Work, is it?
Yes.
That what it's called?
Yep.
Right, okay. Which university was it again?
Sydney University.
Sydney, right, okay. Good. And what did you do with that after you'd finished your studies?
Whilst I was completing my studies, I was working in an aged care facility. So I worked something called community aged care packages, which is helping old people live in their homes longer rather than moving straight into nursing homes. So I sort of started with the aged care field. I worked with dementia care programs. I coordinated dementia care programs. I worked with community aged care packages. I then sort of thought it was time to work with young people. Being still considered young by the young people, I thought it's a time to work with young people. So I worked in residential care, teenage residential care programs, and then started working here as a coordinator of a youth centre.
Right. How old are you now, Helen?
I'm 28.
All that experience already, huh?
28. To some, I'm quite young. To some, I'm quite old. When I work with young people, they say 28 is very old. So, yeah.
Depends where you're coming from, I suppose.
That's right, yeah.
Right. So, how did the job come up here at the youth centre? Tell me.
It was advertising the newspaper as a social worker youth. I originally applied for quite a few jobs at the time. I was looking for more a stable job, 9 to 5. Where I was working previously was overnight work, residential work, quite long hours, so I was looking for something where I could leave at the end of the day. So that really hasn't happened, but I wanted more of a steady job. So I came in with the understanding that it was Monday to Friday, nine to five job, and it was an eye opener that it was actually quite different than what I expected.
In which way was it different?
It was. Everything on paper looks different to what a job is. So it was a drop-in centre for young people, casework, and it was managing a centre as well. So it was a combination of things. It was a great surprise. I quite enjoy it. But it was just something different to what I had done in the past.
Now, this place was had a different function before, didn't it? Can you tell me what it was before it became a youth centre?
Yeah, it used to be a gymnasium, and obviously wasn't around at the time, but what I've been told, it was quite a popular place where the kids used to come and do gymnastics, and that's why we've got our very high ceilings here, because it used to be a gymnasium. So it was quite popular. They had boxing and things like that. So the kids constantly talk about things they used to do here in the past, and they remember certain functions that they had here, certain events being younger and things like that. So, yeah.
Now, who's actually employing you?
It's the City of Sydney Council.
Right, and you're their permanent youth worker for Millers Point?
Yeah, my title's social worker / youth team leader. Yeah.
Right. So how did you find this community when you sort of started to work here?
It's actually quite a very welcoming community. I've had no problems with any of the parents or community members, none of the young people. It's quite surprising that the young people are very open and very welcoming to new staff here. From day one, I've had nothing but positive feedback from the kids. They haven't in any way made me feel unwelcome. And the parents themselves are quite supportive of the youth centre itself. You know, there is nothing in the area that gets them off the street. So for something like a youth centre to get them off the street, I think anything, they're welcome to anything, I think.
Are there a lot of kids on the street? Or would there be if there wasn't a youth centre?
When I say the street, I mean on the street there's nothing for them to do. So they're sitting on the street playing football or you know, just hanging around. That's what I mean by on the street. Basically, there's no space for them. There's no outdoor parks where they can play a game of touch football or play a game of basketball out on the street. They tend to play in the middle of the road because there is no outdoor space that's sufficient for them to play with. So that's what I mean when they're on the street. They're just sort of in their groups hanging around, so they're seen as troublemakers because they're hanging in large groups of people. And, you know, you'll have some that are being, you know, like teenagers running around and look like they're doing something terrible, but they're really just having fun. And the youth centre just gives them an opportunity where it's a safe environment where they can come inside. You know, it's a space that's their own. There are rules, but they're quite basic rules that they have to respect, and they have a great respect to the centre in that they understand that it is their space, and if they ruin it, they don't get it again. So they have much respect for it.
How would you sort of summarise the community here? What kind of a mixture of people is it?
There's a mixture of people. You know, the ones that I have most contact with are a lot from generations in the area, so they're not anyone new coming into the area, so mainly they are from Department of Housing. I don't have much to do with newcomers to the area, and that's probably because their kids aren't mixing with the other kids, I'd say. So I do work with the young people in the area, so the only sort of parents that I do see are the parents of the young people. So,
and are they mainly the Housing Commission people, Dennis?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
The kids from if there are any kids in the Highgate apartments and in the Walsh Bay development, do they come here as well?
I don't have any contact with them. To my knowledge, none of them that I deal with are, and I don't know any of the other kids. To say the truth, I don't have contact with them.
Right. Mm. So they basically don't send their kids here.
No. It's an open service. We don't sort of knock back anyone. We don't say, no, you can't come in, or yeah, you can come in. Yeah, but whether it's known to them or whether they feel comfortable coming in, other sort of issues, I suppose.
Sure. So these kids, you entertain them, you have to find programs for them. How do you go about that?
It's more an individualistic approach. So the kids approach me and say what they're interested in. Then we look at gaps in their educational background and things like that. And we tend to try and cater programs that are centre-based because the kids don't like to leave the area. We try to build up their skills and then encourage them to leave the area and do TAFE courses and go to TAFE, you know, go to school outside the area. But to build up their skills in the area, we can do sometimes photography courses. We do a lot of music courses, computer skill courses, anything that the kids really come and say, this is what I want to do. In terms of programs that we don't have enough kids for, we actually go out and look for externally for outreach programs that cater for their needs. So, yeah, we just take it on what the kids bring to us and what they want.
What's the general level of education that they do reach here, the kids?
From my knowledge and my experience, it's up to year 10. And lately there's been more going on to year 11 and 12. When I came in, it was encouraging them to get to their year 10 and just the support to get them to their year 10 certificate. Yeah.
Most of them tend to leave at year 10, did they, in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of you're saying now they're staying on a bit longer.
Yeah.
So tell me about those programs. I mean, how do you dream them up?
Yeah, well, we've got various programs run with Lendlease, the local corporate organisation, runs a task force. So there's about 13 external organisations that work together to assist the young people in Millers Point, and they range from Department of Housing's on the board, so is the police, local residents that are, have a tennis club, education department, TAFE, excuse me, and we all work together and look at just gaps in the area and the needs for young people in the area. We have young people on, you know, that have their say and say what they would like out of what type of assistance they'd require, and we just look at ways where we can help them. So we started off with a mentoring program, which is a way of supporting them through year 11 and 12 and helping them get through school and just self-esteem building and things like that. So I think it's just a group of 13 people that sit around a table, have half-day workshops on what are the gaps in the area, what do we need to do, and, you know, the biggest one was employment that we looked at and unemployed people. So then just drawing back and looking at preventative measures of how can we actually assist these people find employment prior to leaving school and that type of stuff.
Right, so these mentoring programs, whose idea was it to start these off?
It was part of the task force. So there was, as I said, a group of people that sat around together and looked at ways. And we brainstormed certain ideas, and it just happened that mentoring was one of them. And we thought, well, mentoring's probably the easiest to start with because Lendlease had their volunteers already as mentors. I had connection to the young people, so therefore we had our two parties together to actually form a mentoring program. At the time, we thought it'd be an easy program to start with. We've got it already. We just need to run with it. We've worked out that it's probably one that's taken the most time and a lot of harnessing to actually get to what we are, where we are today. But it's also been a very successful program.
How does it actually work then, the mentoring program, for those people who don't know anything about it?
What we do is we started off with a pilot program. So we started off with a small group of young people, I think it was about 10, and 10 mentors. The mentors went through a training program through TAFE Outreach, which was a mentoring the community TAFE program. They ran through, I think it was, I can't remember how long it was, I think it was about 14 weeks. I'm not sure about that actually, I can't remember exactly, but they ran through a program where they got the basics about mentoring. They then were matched up with young people that I had contact with, and that also went to Balmain High School, so we had the vice principal there on board as well. So we all sort of looked at a profile on each individual and saw how we could match them up. We then had a barbecue and just saw how natural pairings would form up with a mentor and young people, and just got the relationships building and starting to form those relationships. And from there, we just matched a young person with a mentor one-on-one. They meet once a week for an hour, maybe two. Then they can, depending on flexibility of workload and the young person's social life as well. They negotiate between the two of them how often they meet, what they do. It's all about self-esteem, role modelling, homework assistance, job search, TAFE courses. It's that adult person they can have in their lives where they can go to if they need that type of assistance with anything. It was something like my role. However, I have something like 30 kids that come through here a day, and I don't have that time to give them that attention per individual. So therefore, with mentoring, that gives them someone they can turn to and find that type of assistance.
So the mentor will help them with their homework, you said?
Yep.
Right. And do they advise them on if they have problems? Do the kids come to the mentors with problems that they might have? And what might those problems be, do you think?
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, the young person can have a fight with a friend and just feel that they want to talk to someone about it, and, you know, and someone that's not in their circle of friends, that is older, that does have a wiser outlook on life, and they do go to their mentor and say what happened to them. You know, every relationship, every mentor relationship has a different stance. You know, some people, the boys are mainly not as vocal. They tend to play sports together and role model through sporting functions and things like that. So they spend a lot more time actively doing things. The females spend a lot more time talking and chatting over coffee and talking about their weekend and things like that. You know, some of the kids have built really strong relationships with their mentors where their parents have invited them in the past over for dinner and things like that. So it just depends how the relationship hits off and how much they want to give to the mentor.
Right. What have you seen happening with between the mentors and the kids? What kind of improvements or positive feedback have you seen?
School attendance rate has been much higher. There was a lot of truancy before the program begun, but now we do a lot of work with the school, encouraging mentors to go to the school to assist them with homework. You know, we have days where the mentors go to the school and spend the whole day at school with the young person. So it's all about encouraging them to stay into school and things like that. When we recently approached the mentees and said, what are you getting out of this program? Why do you want to stay? They said, well, someone cares about me and somebody wants to encourage me to go to school, and I don't want to let my mentor down, and they've done so much for me. And it's just the whole morale of the whole program. I think a lot of the kids feel very special that they're in this program, and feel that it's something that's unique, and they're very proud to be part of it.
Right. Is this something unusual? I've never heard of a mentor program before. So is this peculiar, say, to Millers Point, or do they have mentor programs in other parts of Sydney?
Yeah, mentoring's very common across Sydney. I've heard of many programs. The unique thing about Millers Point is that we've got a corporate organisation that we're involved with, and that's Lendlease, and they're based in Millers Point. So we're working with a local youth centre and a corporate organisation in the same suburb, and they're all working together. Mostly other mentoring programs, well, to my knowledge, they come from all sorts of ways of life, so all sorts of organisations, work style, work lives, and they then mentor kids, and not particularly from one centre. They could be from various centres. So I think it's just because it's so local and everyone works together, it's come accustomed to the way of life in the youth centre. I mean, mentors come in and just play a game of pool and then leave, so everybody sort of knows them. So one mentor could have one young person, although the whole youth centre knows them. So it's just the way it works here, I suppose.
Right, that's very interesting, isn't it? And the mentors get something out of that as well?
Yeah, they've said that it's a great break for them, and they're learning just as much as the young people. They feel they're learning how to interact with young people, just the challenges of teenagers, you know, how to look at life in a different way, I think. So getting out of the office is a good thing for them, I think they said.
It rejuvenates them a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Any problems in the mentoring program? Have there been any obstacles or any?
I think there's obstacles with any sort of program, and, you know, we've had a few matches that haven't been as successful, and we deal with them. We look at alternative mentors. We look at the issues that have arisen. There's been, an abundance of young people that want to take place, and we don't have enough mentors at stages. And then there's times where young people don't keep their appointments with mentors. And that's just the challenges of teenagers, I suppose. So,
well, that's it. That's teenagers. Right. What's been the most successful thing that you've seen come out of the mentoring program in terms of relationships and things?
Yeah. I've seen a few... I think the biggest thing is the self-esteem and the confidence with young people, to feel that it's okay to talk to people that are not in their social setting, talking to people that are in the corporate world, you know, visiting corporate buildings, looking at a lifestyle that's not necessarily their own lifestyle, and just the confidence in being able to enter a building that isn't somewhere they usually are able to walk into. And just, you know, some of the kids have been in trouble with the law, so they're constantly being looked down on from people that are in a corporate sort of... what's the word I'm looking for? In a... authoritarian sort of figure, they're constantly being looked down on and getting into trouble. So I think they put them all in the same category, and then when they walk into somewhere that they know how to deal with authority much more better, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Right, sure. It gives them confidence too, doesn't it?
Mm.
Well, you said some of the kids are getting into trouble. What kind of troubles do they get into at Miller's Point?
There's been a underage drinking is a major problem. You know, truancy, not as much anymore. They do a lot of things that I think they're unaware of that can lead to quite dangerous things. You know, as I said, the underage drinking is one that then leads to violent behaviour. Hanging in groups, intimidating people. Throwing rocks, you know, little things that don't seem that can be dangerous to a teenager's eye, that actually can be quite dangerous and quite detrimental to people. Yeah.
Right. Is it worse here than anywhere else, or is it just like that the rest of Sydney?
I don't know, because, you know, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I can't say.
Okay, sure, you haven't got... worked in other areas.
No.
What background do the kids have? What sort of ethnic background?
There's a range. There's a range. You've got Asian, Australian, Islander. There's a range. We don't have a specific one that is a minority or a majority here.
And any conflict between different groups of kids at all? Does one group not like another, or is it not like...
Look, I think that Miller's Point is quite a close-knit community. The kids are quite close, and even though they are from different age groups, they tend to all get along. There are times where they'll have little arguments, and there will be times where some people won't come into the centre because they're having a fight with someone. But I think that's across the board with all teenagers. You know, they have their fights, but there's nothing been quite major that they've been segregated for a long period of time or anything like that. No.
Okay, good. Right. Now, the youth centre here, I know it's open. What time? Can you give me a time when it opens, when it closes, what the kids do when they come here, what kind of games they play or whatever?
It's open on Mondays to Fridays. It's open from 10 till 6 p.m., however, the young people don't have access in the mornings unless by appointment. The reason is we don't like them to trot the school to come to the youth centre. So they're open on Mondays from 2:30 to 5:30, Monday to Thursday. On Friday, we're open till 7 p.m. What we do is we have structured daily programs. on a Monday, we have a girls' activity days program where we encourage young females to come in and we do arts and craft, cooking, personal hygiene, educational things there. On a Tuesday, we have volunteers from Lendlease that come and do some homework activities. Wednesdays, we have sports days. Our Thursdays are arts and craft, and Friday at the moment are cooking and a health outreach service that comes and does some free health services for the young people. In the daytime, as I said, it's by appointment only, and that's my casework time, program development, and community sort of involvement.
All right, and you set the program, do you?
The programs, yeah, we do, yeah. They change each term, so it just depends on what the kids are interested in, what's available at the time.
Do you have input from other people from the city council? Do they have a say in it as well?
Yeah, we've got another few youth services in the city council, so we have youth team meetings and we try to make it consistent across the board with all youth centres. So if someone's running a program, then I'll pick up that program and run with it, and we just sort of use everyone's programs. Yeah,
right. Okay. So do they probably will let you do your own thing here?
I've got a supervisor manager that I report to, and I will inform her what's going on, and it'll go through council with a proposal to see if it's appropriate, and it will continue, yeah.
Oh, good. Right. So you have internet facilities here as well, don't you?
Yep.
Tell me about those.
They were donated from Rotary, and they've been here for over 2 years now. And it's an internet cafe where there's 5 Apple computers, all have internet access, and the young people use them quite a lot, mainly for sort of chat and...
Do you want to get that?
No, it's okay. Just with the sound, is it?
Okay.
I might have to answer.
Right. Now, which have you found the most popular classes? You have cooking classes, you have arts, beauty classes, you have dancing. Tell me a bit about some of those.
With the girls, it's quite easy because the girls love the attention and love... probably me being a female helps, loves the hands-on sort of work. So anything, cooking, craft, if we give them the attention and we're there, they quite enjoy it. The boys are a bit harder to engage. They just love to play pool and PlayStation and table tennis. So, you know, we try to encourage them to participate in music programs, and that's something that they've found quite interesting. So music and cooking for the girls, I think, music for the boys.
You've got quite a few electric guitars here, I noticed.
Yeah, the boys love their songs. They're in the process of making a CD, so it's been a successful outcome. Originally, they would just play the guitar and just bash the music.
Okay, I'll just take a break anyway.
Okay.
This is the end of tape number MPFH27, side A. This is the beginning of tape number MPFH27, side B. How have you seen the change happening in the students since the centre's been open and since you've been here?
I have seen quite a change. I'm just trying to think of specific incidences. I've seen a lot of people get into trouble and then get out of trouble and then be scared to get into trouble again, if that makes sense. So learning from their mistakes, I think, is a big thing that they've all learnt. I've seen kids grow up and see what other people have gone through. And then I've seen some take it in a positive way and a negative way, some people following them and some people not following them. So it just depends, yeah.
Is there a drug problem around Millers Point?
Look, I think there's a drug problem everywhere. So, you know, I don't have a lot of clients that are involved with the heavy drugs. So I don't... Personally, I'm not a drug and alcohol counsellor, so we do have a drug and alcohol service that does come out, and if the young people like to see them confidentially, they can, but I myself don't deal with that.
Right. Now, another thing you do is casework advocacy. Tell me about that.
It's about supporting the young people's rights and supporting them through through things. I think it's quite difficult for young people to communicate sometimes. So for them to get their voice across, sometimes they express it in a way that doesn't seem appropriate to some people, but it's the only way they know how to express things. So by having a positive role model that's able to advocate on their behalf, they're able to express it in a much more appropriate manner for them. So we do a lot of advocacy in terms of whether it be with the police and the legal system, whether it be for educational purposes, housing, that type of stuff.
Do you help to put them into jobs as well?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So it's also being a referee for them and advocating on their behalf about their... a lot of young people don't see the positives in their life, so it's just about drawing out those positives and showing people what they're about.
Now, some of these young people living in rental accommodation here with their parents or even outside of their family homes, are they?
All the people I deal with are living with family, yeah.
Right. Okay. So what about... do you put them on Department of Housing waiting lists and things for families, or is that not part of your job?
It is something that I have done. It's not a common thing that I do, and that's because most of them are teenagers and they're still living with their families and they are under 18 years of age. So I help them more with Centrelink and getting them benefits and things like that.
Oh, great. Tell me about the Rocks Fest activities that they do here. They've done some remarkable things, the kids.
Yeah, we... took five girls through the an event planning management TAFE course, teaching them about the process from developing a flyer up until delivering the actual event. They chose a film festival, so they wanted to get other people involved in the area, other young people, so they got other young people involved in making short films. They also got young people involved in performance, so on the night performing. So the Rockfest was... it sort of had an Oscar theme to it where we had a few short films made by the local young people, directed by the young people and just judged by the young people, given out Logies for best actor, best designer, best...
They did an Academy
movie.
Awards, did they?
Yeah, yeah. And it was supported by the task force, so... we had a lot of people. It was something that the kids really wanted to do for their community. They felt that the young people in the area get a bad rap a lot of the time, so they wanted to give something back to their community. So they invited everyone in the community. Since that event, a lot of the community members have approached myself and said that was fabulous, we'd like to see another one. I can't believe this is what the kids do at the youth centre. It's great. So it was a positive thing for the young people.
Now, is this peculiar to Millers Point, or do you think it happens outside as well, this kind of thing?
I'm sure it happens out as well. I'm sure it is. The difference with Millers Point is that it's such a small, close-knit community hidden in the city. So I think, it's got such a strong bond, and I was very surprised when I came here how close-knit the community is and how much everybody knows about each other and how the kids, are quite close. And if they do exit Millers Point, they exit in groups and they go in groups. So they're quite a close-knit community, and that's what I think is quite unique about the area.
So what's it done for you personally, having been in touch with these young people and helping them through?
Especially in this type of industry, it's the outcome is not straight away. You have to see it down the track. And being here for 2 years, I've been able to see some people with outcomes straight away and some that have been down the track. So it's been quite pleasing for me to see changes and see such positive outcomes. We've got young people that when I first came here were in trouble with the law and are now working full-time and with quite good jobs, and I've got others that that have moved out of the area, which was a major thing for them to move out of the area and form friendships externally from the centre, go to tertiary education and places that they could never believe that they could have gone in the past. So it's actually quite rewarding for me to see such changes with young people.
Right, excellent. So you're growing with them.
I am actually, yeah.
Okay, and I know your time is very, very tight and that you have to be somewhere in 3 minutes. So any final comments you want to make before we close the interview?
Just that it's a very unique area that is quite enjoyable to work in. I think it's great, and I've never had a problem with the young people in the area.
Do you see a good future for the area?
I think it's a small area, and the population is quite small. And once these young people move on, I can't see the new people coming through. I don't have much contact with younger kids in the area, so it's a concern that the youth centre may not always be around, because the kids are growing up and they may not need the youth centre, and, you know, a way of drawing in younger kids, and whether there are new kids in the area is not known. So,
are there any threats to your funding operations and so on?
Look, it's run from the City of Sydney Council, so we don't have to apply each year for a grant or anything like that. So whatever council has on plans, I suppose.
Right. Are you finding that you have enough funds to do all the programs you want to do?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm fortunate in that I don't have to look for sort of grants to support my role here. It's supported by council, and you know, programs that we run here are supported by council. It's just any external additional programs that we may need.
Right. The young people are decreasing in number, I believe. There are less and less of them, of teenagers. Is that going to be a problem, do you think?
I think so. I mean, I think that's just how it works. If you don't have young people, you don't have a youth centre. So I think it just depends on, you know, on the need for the service.
Right, okay. All right, well, thanks very much indeed for this interview. I'll just close it. This is the end, then, of the interview with Alan Zeros, and the end of tape number MPFH 27, side B.